In today's episode, I'm talking with the lovely Jared Harvey, good friend and colleague. Jared and I talk about what we see with chronic illness and debilitating conditions in the Chinese medicine space, particularly when it comes to clients that come our way, but also our own personal stories of chronic illness. Jared shares with us a very personal journey that he's been on with healing in the body and how he came to find the path of Chinese medicine. It's a lovely conversation. We hope you enjoy it. Let's get into it. Hello, Jared.
Hi, Karina.
How are you today?
I'm great. I'm really good. I have had a slow morning, but a really nice morning. Woke up and did some meditation. I'm working with a lot of mantra at the moment, which is really enjoyable. And it's my day off today. Actually, I've decided I'm taking Wednesdays off for the time being. And so just doing a bit of work admin, a bit of life admin as well. Yeah.
Nice. So Jared and I are colleagues and friends, and we finished our studies kind of about the same time. I think I was just like a smidge ahead of Jared, and it's been a pretty interesting time to kind of graduate from any university in any field. But I was wondering if maybe we could start with just hearing a little bit about you, maybe even what that journey has been like, transitioning from student into practice, and yeah, what's happening right now for you?
Well, I guess the obvious thing is there has been quite a lot of interruption into anyone's study who has been studying in the last 2 or 3 years. And for me, it was meant to be a four years of study, and that ended up being about 5.5 years of study. I was fortunate enough to go over to Taiwan during my studies for about 3 months and study in an integrated Chinese medicine, Western medicine hospital. And that was really fantastic. I learned so much there, so much about incorporating Chinese medicine into more of a Western framework, as well as just using simple acupuncture. The scalp, they do so much scalp acupuncture over there, just for everything. So that was quite fascinating. So that added a little bit of time onto my studies, and then obviously COVID put all of my classes online, and then I had to do a lot of makeup clinics. So it was a little bit interrupted, but the good thing about it was that for my last two trimesters, I was able to focus solely on clinic. So I was in clinic without having the study on the side for the last two trimesters, which meant that I was really able to just focus on my clinical work and study for my exit exam. And it's been really great. It's been a weight off my shoulders not being a student anymore. So I've been in practice for about 6 months now, and it was a really smooth, really easy transition. I have been in a clinic for over 6 years now. So I actually was working in a clinic before I started studying, which made things a lot easier. I was fortunate enough to receive, I guess, like an internship or a placement in a Chinese medicine clinic out in the eastern suburbs, which is no longer open, but it was called Jing Healthcare, and they did acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, nutrition, and they had a yoga studio and meditation studio downstairs. And I was actually a patient at the time, and the leading practitioner there approached me after I had seen her a couple of times, and she told me that she'd had a dream about me as an acupuncturist, and she saw me running her clinic in a few years' time. So she offered me a position there. She said I needed to start studying. If I enrolled into study, she would give me this position as an intern in the clinic. And and I agreed to it and I loved it. I think it was after about 3 weeks, I actually had keys to the place and was opening up in the mornings and learning gua sha, learning cupping, learning to do moxibustion, listening to consultations, and was there from the get-go, and I just really, really enjoyed it. So I am blessed in that regard that I have had a lot of exposure to clinical work being in that clinic. And then also I've done some work in a hospital over in India, which was very busy, very fast pacing, over 60 patients a day. And then obviously in Taiwan, that was also very busy, as well as the 2 years that we get in student clinic at university. And then I also did an internship with Paul McLeod at the Australian Acupuncture Centre in Geelong, which is where you and I are now working. Yeah, so it's been quite easy. I feel like I've been doing this for such a long time. This is not the first life I've been an acupuncturist. It feels very organic. Yeah.
And you know what? I feel like there are some practitioners that you come across who were probably ready to be practitioners actually before they started studying. They just needed to learn the things. And you definitely strike me as one of those. And I had no idea that you'd already had so much integration into how a clinic works and all of those things that for some people can be quite a shock to the system when you're making that transition from student to practitioner, especially if you are going into sole trader role and you're really nutting out what feels like uncharted territory. But yeah, you've had lots of really great mentors already. And I think that shows because to me, when I witness you sort of sliding into your career and being able to unshackle yourself from the student life, which is such a good feeling to unshackle that feeling of oh, always having to do an assignment plus plus. Yeah, I just see you like striding along. You look so comfortable in this role. And I'm just loving seeing how enthusiastic you are and things that you're learning. And yeah, I feel blessed to work with you and to be watching that.
Thank you. I do feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what I'm here for. And I think, as well as having that clinical experience, I'm also a shiatsu practitioner. So I've been treating patients for a few years now in that role, and also a little bit of a branch into the next part of the conversation I know that we want to talk about. But I also had my own experience with a chronic health issue that essentially led me to be my own doctor and my own practitioner and my own healer, because it was a condition that nobody could really understand. And as you know, with any disease or disorder, we can seek advice and assistance and help from a practitioner, but realistically, it's up to us to do the healing. And I learned so much through that journey that I can now assist my patients with, because I've had that experience and I can relate to people that are suffering and are in pain. And that's something that I believe has really made my transition from being a student to a practitioner a lot easier.
And was that going on for you back when you got the keys, that first internship, that first clinic? Were you already on that healing journey back then, or did it happen after that?
I was on the tail end of my healing journey at that time. So I believe that getting the keys to that clinic, and that was the first time I really worked again in about, oh, it was over 18 months. And having purpose again heals. It really it was like I was like probably 80% better. And then as soon as I got that position in that clinic, it was like I just forgot that I was even sick, because I just, I felt like I had purpose for the first time in my life. It was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I'm here for. This just makes sense. And this is something that I can imagine myself doing every single day for the rest of my life with passion, with love, with presence, with enjoyment, and not get bored because I'm seeing so many people come into this amazing wellness space with incredible, mental, emotional, physical pain, and they're having such profound shifts in their body and in their mind with the power of acupuncture and with the power of alternative medicine and therapies. There's so much that you can learn through those experiences, but also I'm sitting there at the desk reading all these textbooks as well, and I'm just like, there is so much knowledge, there is so much experience here that we can learn from a textbook, but we can also learn from these one-on-one experiences of healing, but we can also interpret all of these things and make it our own. There's just so much possibility in this medicine. How
So
could you
much.
ever get bored?
Never. Oh, there's a couple of things I want to speak to in what you've just shared. I totally second that. It's such an exciting career because every day is a beautiful, glorious, puzzle in a sacred way with people. I love what you said before about how receiving the keys just really shifted things for you. Kind of almost sounds like when people step into a service role, and I know that you would agree with me in that what we're doing is service to others. That feeling of when you're stepping in a service role, it's almost like parts of your ego or parts of your story just fall away behind you, or they're just not, your identity completely shifts because you've expanded to be in a role that is of service to others. And it sounds like that's exactly what I heard in what you said. And there are so many books, there are so many courses, and I feel like you'll never learn it all in this career. You'll never learn it all. And sometimes you think you've got something really down pat, and then you take it to the treatment table, and it's not helpful at all, or it's not what's needed in that moment. So as much as this vast, wide medicine is completely mysterious, it actually can't be that standardized. So I feel like the more knowledge that you learn, if you're not actually present to what's in front of you and the feedback that you're getting from the patient, either on the day or the next time you see them, and you're able to go with the flow with that, if you get really rigidly stuck on, okay, well, this is this particular pattern, this is the formula that treats that, these are the points that treat that. It can be very hit and miss. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Oh, I completely agree. And I think that's the thing with the university model is that it's Zung Fu, it's all textbook, and there's not much room for kind of being intuitive and making it your own, which I found quite struggling in the university setting. And I know it's necessary, but I think it's super important to be there and be present with the patient. And that's the beauty of Chinese medicine, is that it is tailored to every single patient's individual needs and individual patterns. And you can have 10 people with a migraine, and every single one of them will be presenting with a different pattern, which means you'll be treating them completely differently. It could be a headache from, toxic heat in the body, liver yang rising, for example, but it could also be a cold, damp headache because this person's eating ice cream every night and they haven't moved from their Netflixing bed routine for the past 6 months. And, you could do the same treatment on those two people and you'd only get so far. But if you really got in there and felt the pulse and, had a look at the tongue and asked a few questions and felt into what was going on with the patient, a lot of the time there's a lot of mental or emotional components to all disorders or imbalances in the body, and that's going to be different for everyone again. So that's another thing that's super important, is getting to that core emotion or belief system that is making that person unwell,
So true.
and talking through that.
Yeah. I feel like that knowledge of how much emotions affect the feeling of being in a body is, it's not really talked about in Western medicine at all. Stress is talked about in Western medicine, and stress is such a big term that could mean so many different things. I mean, in Chinese medicine, we would say that your qi stagnates when you're stressed. But I bet in the work that you're doing with clients now, that you're seeing more and more and more that underneath everything that presents on the surface, when these symptoms finally begin to manifest, or at the beginning of when they manifested, that there's been something that's happened emotionally or in the psyche, or there's been some big event that's really rocked their sense of identity or the way they relate to the world. And then that is just rumbling underneath as the body starts to then show up in different ways, whether it's a rash on the skin, whether it's headaches, whether it's all these Western conditions. You know, I love that you mentioned that in Chinese medicine, we don't treat migraines. I think when people come in, of course, they're first going to tell us about their Western diagnosis because that's the framework that we're all most familiar with. And we understand that language, so it's good for us. But if we were, you know, to pitch ourselves as treating migraines, it's really important to educate people on how just because you've got this label that says you've got migraines, or just because you've got this label that says you've got multiple sclerosis or cancer or fibromyalgia or Lyme disease or whatever it might be, that we're interested in that, but we're actually going to then park that to the side and we're going to come over and look at it through our lens because we're looking for particular markers to help us find where the disharmony is and how we can begin to correct that. And I guess that's a good preface if we are going to go deeper into your particular story, that if anyone is listening, that if you are seeking out help through Chinese medicine and you have been given a particular Western diagnosis, you're going to get a really unique experience with whomever you go to get treated by because they're doing exactly what I just said. Okay, great, you've been diagnosed with X. Sweet, I'm just going to put that word over here and then I'm going to dig in and have a look myself.
Definitely. You've hit the nail on the head. And just to touch on what you were saying about the emotional link, and often there being a significant life event at the beginning of a degenerative or a chronic disease, or a lot of diseases in general. I have a good example of a patient that came into clinic recently. He was in his early 30s and he had never had any serious health issues in his life. He had never had any digestive issues in his life, so he said. And all of a sudden, he started to present with acid reflux and diarrhea, loose stools, food sensitivities. And he said that it had been this way for about 6 weeks. And he'd been to so many different doctors and he'd had so many different tests, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. They couldn't tell him why he was having reflux. He couldn't eat because every time he would eat, food would get stuck in his throat, or he'd get, this reflux causing so much pain. And one of the first questions I asked him was, what happened 6 weeks ago? What was going on 6 weeks ago in your life? And he said, oh, I mean, I don't know. I was working, I was looking after my mom, and my mom had to go to hospital for that was the first time she went to hospital. And then, he kept talking. And I said, so let's just go back to your mom going into hospital. Why did your mom go to hospital? He said, oh, mom had like a heart attack, and the whole family was trying to get into the hospital, but we couldn't go in because of the restrictions. And I was so stressed and so overwhelmed. And I'm mum's carer because she's in a wheelchair. And I'm so terrified of losing her. And then the tears came, and then the emotions started to come to the surface. And then the pulse changed. And then the stomach started to relax. And then we started the treatment. And I said to him, do you see the link in your emotional mental state and the connection that this has with your gut? And do you understand that every single cell, every single part of the body is interconnected and your mind is in control of your gut? And he said, yeah, like it makes so much sense. And he's like, it's amazing that none of these other doctors I've been to have even asked that question or have even thought of that, but it just makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like the big difference is things get pulled apart and studied individually.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to look at the whole thing as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
And things get pulled apart so much that, you know, you end up going all the way over here to see somebody that knows about the stomach, and all the way over there for someone who knows about the uterus, and all the way back there for someone who knows about feet. And you just, you spread out all over the country.
Yeah.
And people do know intuitively that their whole body is an integrated unit. It's just they haven't been conditioned to think that way that often because of how prevalent Western medicine is. But when you have those conversations with people and you say, do you know that there's a strong connection between your emotional state and what's happening inside your body? And they go, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
People know that. They just need someone to kind of affirm for them that they're not crazy, that their emotions are making them sick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's part of it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, 100%. And I think one of the major issues with that system, with the Western medical realm and, you know, going and seeing all these specialists, is there's often a 2, 3, 4 week, 2 month wait to get in to these specialists, and a lot of money. And a lot of the time, from my experience, you would go and see these top specialists and they'd find something out, and then you'd come back to them and they'd be like, oh, I found you've got, you know, really high levels of X, Y, Z, but that's not my specialty, so I'm going to refer you on to someone else.
Okay.
And then you go back to the cycle of waiting 2, 3 weeks to go to this other specialist, and then your condition gets worse because you're not receiving the right treatment, and you start looping in this thought pattern of what the hell is going on? Why am I so sick? Nobody understands what's going on. Nobody can help me. I am so complex.
Mm.
It's really challenging.
It is challenging.
I think that's something that Chinese medicine does so well, is it just looks at the person as a whole, as a being, as one entity, and can treat the psyche, the mind, the emotions, as well as the physical body.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's a little theme that can be running along for people that have got chronic illness. The longer that it goes on, the longer that it takes for them to meet someone that really they feel that they can be helped by, the more that belief expands. I'm complex. No one can help me. Mm-hmm. I just keep getting handballed to all these different people. This is costing me a fortune. I guess this is just going to be my life. Or I guess I just have to learn to live with this thing and the heaviness of that, or the fatigue that comes with that sense of despair or hopelessness.
Mm-hmm. And often with that, comes labels, and you know, you might get a fibromyalgia diagnosis along the way, and then you might get a rheumatoid arthritis diagnosis, or you might get a leaky gut diagnosis, and then you know, by the end of it, you've got a long list of diagnoses or diseases that you've been diagnosed with, and you're too exhausted to work. You don't have the energy to study. You don't have the mental clarity to do much with your life. You're stuck at home. You lose a sense of direction. You lose a sense of purpose. And things stagnate.
Yeah.
And it's really tricky to get out of those places because you do feel so isolated and misunderstood. And you're so exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally.
Not to mention the laundry list of medications you might be on at that stage too.
Exactly.
So was that your experience, Jared? So you went through something pretty massive yourself.
Yeah. I won't go too much into it because it is a long story. And I have spoken about it on other platforms if that's something that people are interested in. But I did have my experience with a chronic health disease, and I fell into the victimhood. I went through pretty much everything I've been talking about. I was very isolated. I didn't know what was going on with me. I was never exposed to alternative medicine. I was never exposed to Chinese medicine as a child growing up. And everything for me was Western medicine. It was going to a doctor, going to a specialist to go and figure out what was going on. And it was when I was 19, actually, I was living up in Southeast Queensland. And I was not living the healthiest lifestyle. I was actually studying at the University of Queensland. I was studying education as well as French and environmental sciences. I have previously lived in France. I was an exchange student over there for 12 months and still am very passionate about language, and was also passionate about the environment. But I would say it was more of an interest or a curiosity. It wasn't a passion. And even when I was studying, I was like, I just can't imagine myself doing this every day. And I thought I was going to become a school teacher. I was like, I just can't imagine myself doing this every day. Anyway, the universe kind of worked its magic and I became very unwell. It manifested with pain in my upper right quadrant, which I later discovered was actually my liver and my gallbladder. And then that turned into a whole range of gastrointestinal issues, food sensitivities, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, blood in my stool, which then turned into fatigue, brain fog, headaches, migraines, dizziness, joint pain, insomnia. Then came the anxiety, panic attacks, blacking out. I would just have these moments. It would happen when I was in a state of rest and I'd get up, and I do have low blood pressure, but I would have these attacks where I would fall to the ground and the whole room would just start spinning into a vortex, really bad vertigo attacks. I had some really strange things go on, and it was like something was taking over my body, and I felt completely out of my body. I one of my worst symptoms was depersonalization, they would call it. And it was as if my soul was not actually in my body. I didn't feel like I was in my person. And I would have these other symptoms where I'd get like these internal vibrations. It was like my whole body was shaking, twitches, chest pains, palpitations, extreme migraines to the point where I would go to hospital because it felt like I had a bullet in my head. And it was, doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor. And a lot of the time in the beginning, it was, oh, you're a student, you're living out of home, you're paying rent, you're studying, you're working two jobs, you're partying on weekends, you drink alcohol, you're stressed, and you're just probably stressed and anxious. I'd never struggled with any mental health issues previously. I'd never had any anxiety. I didn't even know what anxiety was. And long story short, I saw over 19 different Western medical doctors and specialists over the space of 2 years. And in the end, I was diagnosed with hemochromatosis. They said I had early onset arthritis in my hands. They thought I had MS. They thought I had a tumor on my pituitary gland. And I had a 2 week waiting list to get into a different doctor to confirm that. So for 2 weeks, I thought I had a brain tumor. And I was living interstate on my own. So I didn't really have the support of my family, but I did have beautiful friends around me. In the end, it was chronic fatigue, anxiety. And that they didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on, but something was not right. Something was really not right. I was nine, no, by this age, I was 21, and there was a period where I wasn't able to get an erection for over 5 months. And I went to an endocrinologist who did my bloods, and I don't know the exact measurements, but I think it was like, I don't know what measurements they use when they're looking at testosterone, but let's just say the low level healthy range is five, whatever. I was 4.9, and the doctor said to me, you're in the low range, but it's just borderline, within the normal healthy range, so you're fine. But that range was looking at every single male in Australia, the same. They didn't differentiate between a 19-year-old's testosterone levels and an 80-year-old male's testosterone levels. So technically, because I was 19 and I had very low levels of testosterone, I was still just within the normal healthy range. So he couldn't help me. He didn't know what was going on. He actually, because the first time I got the test, it was just below. It's like, oh, we'll do another one, but instead we'll do it when you're fasting early in the morning because that's when your testosterone's at its highest. And it just creeped up to 5.1. He's like, oh, you're normal, you're fine. There's nothing wrong. So then I got sent off to another specialist, but it was just that for such a long period of time. So in the end,
Can
I
I just
did.
want to pause on that for a second because I feel like that's a chronic illness. To me, I call that I mean, it's no fault of the doctors. This is how they have to work. These are the ranges that they're told. I always call that medical gaslighting. I call it medical gaslighting. You're fine.
100%.
Someone's like, I am not well. I cannot work. I'm exhausted. Whatever the case may be. Oh, well, you fit within these ranges. And we get those by looking at everybody and then
Exactly.
ascertaining what's high and what's low according to the population.
And they keep
And you
changing
fall within
them.
that. So, yeah,
As the
sorry.
population gets sicker as well, they're having to change these healthy ranges. And so they're like, oh, like the cholesterol levels are going up. So let's just change that range a bit higher to normalize it. And that's happening across the board.
Same with TSH, because I've done Claire Pye's thyroid seminar a couple of times, and she always talks about how like a good level of TSH to know that things are functioning well is two, but some labs in Australia will say that four is okay or five is okay, and Yeah, it's tough. It's tough being on a journey of being your own investigator because you have to, because it feels like no one has an answer for me, and I keep getting told that I'm fine, but I'm absolutely not fine. So, yeah. Sorry, Jared, keep going.
No. It's good to have these little intervals in between and acknowledgements. But next in my journey, because I did at this point think a lot of it was psychological, which it was. I had a lot of things going on psychologically that I had to kind of unravel. But I actually ended up stopping my studies and I went over to India to visit a friend. And I just, because all these doctors were telling me I was so stressed, and overworked, which I was, I was like, I need a holiday and I need an experience. So I went to India and was very unwell over there. I should not have been traveling, but I actually ended up in Nepal doing Vipassana. And I had these really interesting experiences where I was meditating and I could see into my body and I could see these tiny little, what I thought were like thousands of little snakes moving through my blood. And they were laying like eggs. And I would try and remove them out of my body, but they just kept on multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. I had huge breakthroughs in my Vipassana. It was one of the most challenging things I've ever experienced, because I was in so much physical pain. Every single part of me was just aching. And I was meditating for over 16 hours a day in a room in one of the strictest Vipassana centers in the world, where I was only allowed one single pillow underneath me. And there was an earthquake while I was there. So that just added to the whole stress. But yeah, I had some really big breakthroughs. And I came out of there with a lot of clarity around myself as a person and my identity. And quite a lot of conversations were needed with family and friends after that experience within, after 10, 11 days of complete silence. But something that really became clear for me was that there was something serious going on because of the fact that every single person that came out of there just felt so much clarity and so much energy. And I had clarity in ways emotionally. I was able to kind of identify certain things. And as I said, sharing certain things with family and friends. But my physical condition continued to deteriorate. And I just intuitively knew that there was something going on. I couldn't actually carry my backpack anymore. I had to have someone carry my backpack for me. It was too heavy. And the blackout situation just kept on getting worse. I was on these migraine medications and I was also on beta blockers at the time. And I remember once I was in an airport and I ran out of my medications and I just started freaking out and I couldn't eat much at all because my gut was just in so much pain. There was so much bloating and inflammation. And I was journaling a lot, but I could no longer journal because the inflammation in my fingers was so bad that I couldn't hold a pen. And so I ended up coming home, and my mum said to me that she was talking about my situation to a friend in a cafe, and a lady across the table overheard the conversation and said, "I'm so sorry for interrupting, but I've been eavesdropping your conversation, and I can't help but give you this lady's number. She's an incredible kinesiologist, naturopath based in Melbourne, who has helped my son with his autism and a lot of other health issues that he was experiencing. Give her a go, give her a call." Anyway, my mum spoke to me about this and I said, "Look, mum, I will do anything. Like I just want to get better." So my mum called this lady and explained exactly what was going on. And originally, Judy, said to my mum on the phone that she has a 3 month waiting list. Once mum started talking to her about my story and the symptoms I was experiencing, she said, I know exactly what's going on. I can fit him in tomorrow morning before I start.
Wow.
And that's where I finally got a diagnosis that made sense. She actually used kinesiology to test for different tick-borne diseases and Lyme disease and Lyme borreliosis, rickettsia. I think I had 19 different co-infections. And she asked me if I'd ever been bitten by a tick. And I'd been bitten by many ticks living in Southeast Queensland. And I'd been to festivals in Byron, and there are ticks everywhere. We're just picking them off each other's ears and heads and armpits, not even thinking about it. And I ended up getting my serology sent over to the US, which confirmed my diagnosis for Lyme. And that was a big journey. It was a big weight off my shoulders, finally knowing what was going on. But it was also quite challenging because I'd been diagnosed with a chronic health issue, and everything I read about it was incredibly negative. And, people would add me to support groups, or I joined support groups, and it was just people that had been sick for 10, 15, 20 years and had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on treatment with no success. And a lot of negativity. And I remember one day I just woke up and I was like, oh, I'm not, this is not me. I'm not putting up with this. And I removed myself from all of these groups. And I was like, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to get better. I just knew it. I just knew. Every single part of me knew that I was going to get better. And I had my days, I had my weeks, I had my months where I was uncertain if I'd get better, because it was a roller coaster. I would just have moments of feeling better or good, and then it would just end in crashes for weeks or months. But I always saw that glimpse of light at the end of the tunnel. I always knew that I was going to get better. And that's what I held on to. And I did everything in my power to get better. And I think the main thing that actually got me better was that belief system that I was going to get better from the get-go. And most people that have Lyme disease don't recover. And if they do, it takes them a long time, or they go through these really intensive hyperbaric chamber treatments where their body is warmed up to above, I think it's like 40 degrees in a contained environment, which actually kills off the bacteria, but they can end up in severe burns and can be quite detrimental to other organs in the body. And it's very expensive. And a lot of the time it doesn't work. But otherwise, there's not much treatment available and there's not much known about this. But I did a lot of research. I started meditating. I changed my diet. Started to get regular acupuncture, herbal medicine. I've tried every therapy under the sun. I know what works and what doesn't work. I've tried every diet. I've tried to be a raw vegan. I've done the medical medium stuff. I've fasted. I've done it all. And yeah, 12 months later, I found out that I no longer had Lyme in my system, which was a really exciting moment, and incredibly rewarding. And then I started to work in this clinic, and it's like over 6 years later, here I am. I think it's even long. What year are we? 2022. I think it's probably been 7 years
2022.
now. I don't even know. But yeah.
So, question for you, Jared, in the way that we're thinking about events and beliefs and how they influence us, and how, like, when we zoom out, maybe this sounds like a really idealistic thing to say, but I believe that when we zoom out and we look at everything as it's designed, it's all perfect and it's all in the moment, it might feel like a dreadful disaster, but it's all specifically coordinated in a particular way for you? Why do you think it happened?
I truly believe that it is in my destiny, that it is my destiny to be a practitioner or to be of service to others, to be living this medicine, to be a healer. And I was not on track. I was not on that path. I was at university studying French and environmental science. I was drinking a lot. I was partying a lot. I was not happy. I was hiding from myself. I was suppressing so much. I was suppressing my emotions. I was suppressing my sexuality. I was suppressing my childhood. I was suppressing my creativity. And it wasn't until I got sick that I had to unravel all of that and face it and see myself for who I truly was. And it was beautiful. It really was. It was incredibly challenging, but I'm so grateful because I don't think that I would be, well, I know that I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for that experience.
Wow. It's a pretty intense way to get somewhere, isn't it? You know, if the universe, or insert word here that you'd prefer instead of universe, is looking at you going, hey, path's over here. Come on now. If you're not going to come over, we're going to create a big storm for you to get you on track. It's going to be rough. But when you get there, you're going to see that it was purposeful.
Definitely. And I truly believe that that's exactly what is happening as a collective right now on Earth, is that we are going through this major transformation because we haven't been on track. And I really feel like we're going through a realignment, and it's going to be really incredible when we get there. And I think we're getting closer and closer every day.
Yeah, I agree. And on a one-to-one basis, I feel like, you know, sometimes at school, we've really been encouraged to not get too involved with people, like not to ask too many personal questions for them to bring up their stuff. And I understand why, because if you don't have the skills, and you and I have had conversations off camera about the delicate nature, if you're going to open up a space with a client for their story to come up, and you are not grounded, and you don't have the strength and the softness at the same time to hold the room while that comes up, and to be able to let them talk and ask well poised questions to help them get clarity on their own story, their own belief, because they're so in it sometimes it's hard to know. In order to carry into the treatment, into the on the table actual points and protocols and things that you might be doing, I feel like at school we were really sort of, you know, just that's not appropriate, that's inappropriate. But I kind of feel like that's where the magic is.
Yeah, definitely.
It's scary though. I will just also say it's scary, and I recognize in myself as a young practitioner too that there are moments where I think, have I overstepped a boundary here? Is it okay? But you and I have both been really inspired lately by practitioners that do that. And I think it's really important to help our patients feel that their mind and their body are welcome in the same space, and the things that have happened to them are relevant to the things that are coming up in their body. And if they can get to the root of their own story of how that began to manifest, like you just said, you know, the power of your transformation in your experience was feeling like you could shift your mindset from somebody that was going to be imprisoned by their diagnosis and their laundry list of diseases for their lifetime. And you went, you know what? No, I don't believe that that's who I am. That's not my identity. I've got my sights set on healing, and that's where I'm going. So that's just what's going to happen for me. Because you can have someone come to the clinic and you can tell that they've got, we all have layers and layers and layers of things that have happened to us. That's part of the human experience. And it's, you know, for me, I don't feel like the kind of practitioner that just is going to treat the symptoms and leave the room. I'm really interested in going deeper than that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not really something that's spoken about very often in our profession. And, you know, we go through one subject of counseling, and technically we're not trained therapists, but we are. We're therapists, and we're working with therapy every single day. And I know that there are certain practitioners that, you know, don't even go there. They just, a few simple questions, needles in, let the needles do their thing. And I respect that. And I definitely think that has its place, and it works to an extent. But in order to get to the nitty gritty stuff, the juicy stuff, and to reverse chronic degenerative diseases, I really do believe that it's essential to unravel these belief systems and these emotions that are held in the body. And yes, we can talk these things through with psychologists or psychotherapists, or, you know, whatever therapists you want, but the power of using the unraveling of the emotion or the core belief system and following that up with the acupuncture and the body work is priceless. So powerful. And I really believe that we receive training as therapists every single day, as practitioners, and through our own life experiences. And I do really want to study therapy at some point. I don't know what that means, but I feel like it does come quite easy to me. And I think it is through my experience of having to unravel my mind in my own journey towards health that it does come quite naturally. And I'm not scared to go there. I actually love going there.
Yeah. And I feel like it's not even about counseling somebody necessarily or talking something out for weeks and weeks and weeks. To me, I feel like the magic is really just giving a patient the opportunity to become aware of a story that they've been running on and give them the space and the permission to change their mind about it.
To rewrite the story, to let go of it and start a new chapter. And it can come with
all it is. Yeah. If you change your perspective about what has happened or who you think you are or how you are seen in the world, it's complete transformation.
Exactly. And it can be something as simple as, you know, hi, my name's Jared and I have Lyme disease. I've had Lyme disease for 5 years now. To hi, my name's Jared and I am recovering from Lyme disease. I am on track to recover my Lyme disease, or I am healing from Lyme disease. And that simple shift, that simple change in the wording of your everyday language is heard by the body.
Yes. Yeah.
It's heard by every single system and every single cell and every single bacteria in the body. It's like, oh, we're getting better. We're actually getting better. We're not sick anymore.
Yeah, we're recovering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're recovering.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Well, let's do that then.
Yeah. Well, I had a recent very public experience of receiving a treatment in Melbourne. At Anne Cecil Sturman's seminar. She did the Divergent seminar in Melbourne. And
an exorcism. Not
an
really
exorcism is what I was. So it was incredibly powerful, but it was a public exorcism. Let's not beat around the bush. But I had a really profound experience later that night where the way that she helped me to find the real antithesis thought or the antithesis belief that I'd been running on forever, I took that with me into falling asleep. And as I was falling asleep that night, my mind went back, like I was going back through the movie of my life, and particular scenes that had occurred in my life that had felt really painful, that I'd really seen myself as a victim, or I'd really seen myself through that old lens. I felt like I got to bathe these old memories in a new belief and look at them in a different way. As a child, as a, you know, as a 12-year-old performing on stage or whatever it was that I was envisioning, and the whole scene shifted, and my whole body and my whole response to it shifted, and it felt like the invitation to change my mind about who I thought I was and how I thought I'd been my whole life meant that I could go back and heal myself, heal my old wounds, heal my old memories. And when you said earlier in the conversation that you can go and get treatment from somebody, you can see the best whoever, you are actually in the driver's seat of the healing yourself. And I think that's what we're doing as acupuncturists.
Yep.
Helping people step back into their own driver's seat. And yeah, the needles are doing remarkable things. The herbs do remarkable things. Giving people space to receive nourishment does remarkable things. But what we're really doing is helping people rewire themselves so that they can move on a different track and rewrite their own story, as you said before.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Definitely. It is. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Question. If you were treating yourself, just with what I know you're really into right now with classical acupuncture, which I'm really into as well, just as like a bit of a nerd out, what divergent channel would you use?
I've got a little bit of a chesty thing going on at the moment. I'd probably do some bloodletting. I probably wouldn't do a divergent. If I was to do a divergent treatment, actually, I think I would go with spleen divergent to help build thick fluids and to help clear the damp.
I was thinking of lingering. Those symptoms. Yeah, the stomach symptoms and the gut issues and the migraines, and I was thinking stomach spleen divergent. Super early days for me to learn this information. But do you do that now as well? Are you kind of thinking about divergence a lot?
Yeah, definitely. I'm using them so much in my practice and just loving them. It's really amps things up. Yeah.
Plug for Anne's acupuncture book if people listening haven't come across that yet. Yeah. The advanced acupuncture book, the red book.
Life-changing. Mm.
Life-changing.
But also so important to learn it in person because, I mean, you can look at the book, but to see it happening in front of your eyes is a completely different thing.
Yeah, I agree.
To see the medicine in action, to see the medicine alive and breathing.
And to ask questions about it and hear the other questions that people might have.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a huge change in the culture where all this old knowledge that was thought to be lost is coming back, and it's coming back into our generation so that we can, it's almost like we're repropagating an old seed and helping it to germinate again, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that feels like a nice place to find an ending.
Yeah, I'm so happy with how things flowed. Just, yeah, it's great.
Me too. Thank you so much, Jared. And thank you for sharing that story. I know it's incredibly personal and, I really appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing that today.
Thank you, Karina, for holding this space and for putting together this incredible podcast. I always thoroughly enjoy talking to you and being in your presence.
Thanks, Jared. And thank you so much for listening and or watching today. I'll leave it there. Thanks, everyone. Bye.